You're listening to the Gold Squadron Podcast, your home for X-Wing discussion, strategy, and entertainment.
This is episode 58 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I am your host, Dio Morales, and today I am joined by Chris Chico Brown.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. How are you, Dion?
I'm doing great. Better late than never, William Hagwood.
Boop, boop.
And Rogue 18, Marcel Manzano.
Yeah.
Why Rogue 18?
I don't know. I just feel like I haven't been on that much lately. I've gone rogue.
I've gone rogue. Okay. Even though I think technically
there's another meaning behind it as well, obviously.
Oh, we'll get to there later, I guess. Maybe not. So
we can.
Maybe, I don't know. It's your decision.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I was just didn't know for sure. That's why I didn't post it. But yeah, I'm not going to be at Worlds this year. Sad little me.
I know.
Just a lot of stuff going on and had to make some choices. And unfortunately, Worlds got put on the chopping block. But it's all good.
And everyone whose lists were afraid of triple jump masters just breathed a sigh of relief.
Nobody's list was afraid of triple jump masters. They should have been, but they weren't. I felt ready. I think my triple jump list in tournament play is 15 and 3 or 15 and 4. Something like that. No. Because I lost. Yeah, I've lost four times with it.
You've lost four times with it total?
In tournaments, in main tournaments, yeah.
How dare you lose four times?
I know. Sorry.
So before we go too far, I do want to talk about our upcoming live streams. We are going to be going to a consistent schedule here with streaming. Obviously, we're doing Monday nights, our podcast live recordings. Hello to everybody who is watching live. Thank you for watching. You get to see all the times we screw up live. Wednesday night, League Night Play, which we've been doing consistently for the last couple months now. Every Wednesday night, bringing you video straight from past times, how things are going. And then on Friday night, we're doing something new. On Friday night, we're calling it the Gold Squadron Podcast Grab Bag. We're going to be doing everything from Vassal streaming to, town halls and even playing Star Wars video games. I'm going to be playing through the first video game we're going to play some Knights of the Old Republic. Have you guys played Knights of the Old Republic?
Yeah. I've played that. I had to translate my brain for a moment. I always just called it KOTOR. But yeah, that one and the second one, I really like that because it's a bit of an RPG style, and I've always liked that.
Yeah, I'm a fan. So KOTOR, the thing is, I can't play like super crazy video games. Like I can't play Battlefront for you guys for funsies because you guys would see me pass out from vertigo. Can't do it. So I got to play at a little bit slower pace.
Okay, so with KOTOR, are you going light side or dark side?
The chat will choose. What were you saying, William?
Oh, I literally said the same thing. Light side or dark side.
Okay.
Yeah, I had to play through twice because like I had to be the bad guy first and then the light side. Because it's just so easy when you walk into a bar and some guy's like, hey, who are you looking at? And you're like, oh, boy. And you just roll up your sleeves and just deck them. And like, dark side.
Yeah. No, I'm gonna let the chat choose. I think that's where some of the fun is gonna be. Like, what should I do? We'll do little straw polls and stuff like that. We'll have some fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's gonna be our plan. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Gold Squadron Podcast streaming. And then of course, tournaments. We'll be at all the stuff. We got do you guys realize we have what you call it? So we have store championships like around the corner.
When?
It starts right after Worlds.
That soon?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, last year we had a store championship like literally the week after Worlds. I haven't heard anything recently. Like I feel like we would have heard about the kits if somebody would have had one right after Worlds.
Yeah, so maybe not as soon, but I mean, it's going to happen. So
right, it's usually for during the summer.
Exactly. So we will be at almost nearly every store championship in the Chicagoland area, unless we're streaming a premiere event that's happening like the same weekend or something like that, which we do have a couple of those already scheduled. But yeah, so lots of content coming from Gold Squadron Podcast. And then Chico, I think it's appropriate as you are nominated, and so is William. Let's take a second to talk about the Goldies.
Hashtag force for good.
Yeah. So we have a bunch of different people nominated. William is nominated for a set of the best streamed game this year, best stream final. Him and Andrew Schmidt. So, among others, we'll talk about those. I can't.
Are you just revealing now what all the other is? Can't reveal what all the other is.
That's. Oh, I'm sorry. I gave away some. So yeah, that's some of the other. Yeah. So we'll see how that all goes. When is it though? I want to talk about when is it. It's May 4th to Friday, May 4th after Swiss. I can't put a time on it because, you know, stuff happens. There's going to be six rounds of X-Wing, and then we got to run to the hotel. You know, I got to set everything up, make sure everything's ready to go, and then we'll start to stream and we'll do all the stuff. Like, there's a lot going on. You know, we're giving away the awards, streaming it, and doing a raffle. So we'll have all hands on deck there. It'll be a good time. I think William said it best last week. He's like, with all the people that you have like nominated, even like you can't have a bad time with all those people who are going to be there.
Yeah, I think that was the best quote that I've heard so far. Like, it's just going to be just a great time. I'm so excited.
Who's invited? Everybody, anybody. I literally, if you are in the vicinity of Worlds, of the Radisson by Worlds, just show up. It's fine. There's no entry fee or anything like that. That's what inspired the whole raffle. It's like, you know, I didn't want to pay. I didn't want to be like, hey, you want to get into this party or this hangout thing? You got to pay. No, it's like, I don't want to do that. So the raffle will cover the cost, hopefully, of all the, because I got to pay for the room and like the food and stuff like that. Yeah. Lots of cool prizes. Go to GoldSquadronPodcast.com and you can see all the information for the raffle and the Goldies, all that stuff. Nominees. There's so much there. Hey, I could spend a whole show talking about it.
I will sign that Loop and Chewy.
You will sign it? Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent.
And so real talk. You say anyone can come.
Yeah.
What's the fire marshal going to say when we've got like 400 people packed in like a 100-person room?
I have to shoot for the stars and see what happens.
All right. Yeah.
Right.
Let's do it.
Right. So like, cause when I called the Radisson, I was like, all right, what do you have available? And they're like, we got this one room. I'm like, okay. All right. How many people can it fit? And they gave me like a number. I'm like, what if like I'm not having like a reception? Let's take out all the tables. You know, how many people? And they gave me a number. I was like, we can make that work. Cause here's the thing, right? Like, if this becomes a thing where people really like showing up, maybe we can find something that maybe is not as close but bigger in the future and hold it at a bigger venue. But this is the beta test, right? This went from our Airbnb to the Radisson, the common area, and now we're getting right. A physical room. So we'll see what happens. Unlock the hologram. Alrighty, so we're in our first section of the podcast. We're going to be talking about last minute Worlds prep, and as you guys know, we are streaming from Worlds 20, what are we in? 2018? I forget what year it is even. we're going to be streaming on all day Thursday. William's going to be holding down the fort and he's going to be streaming. William, who are you going to be commentating with?
I have Tim Dugan from Radio TCX. And then I have Kevin Leintz And Sarah Tessman.
Yep.
Yeah. Sorry, I haven't bad with names. But yeah, I have Sarah helping me out in the later games then too. Didn't realize I got all Minnesota locals, but they're the ones available, and I'm glad they're helping out.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. And then on Friday, I'll be holding it down with, I have my list of people here, Ryan Farmer, Andrew Knuckles from, as I'm wearing, the Birmingham Barons, and then also Richard White. You know, he likes to say that we are the best, you know, the best streaming duo out there. He likes to give everybody the run for their money, and we are part of the famed Dialgate commentator pair. We definitely miss that. So definitely the best.
Thanks, Gold Squadron.
Yeah. Since we're talking about playing on stream and streaming, Chico, we were chatting earlier and you said that you have some information / news for me when it comes to how we as Gold Squadron Podcast stream are going to interact with the judges at Worlds.
Oh, yeah. We're still trying to hash that all out. It sounds like the way that they're going to do it is people on Twitch chat, they won't have an effect, and they shouldn't, because they're not here. That was put into their new tournament rules of, you know, they're not allowed to have an effect. Now, if you notice something looking at the stream, can you say something? That's what we're still hashing out. They said the commentators on the FFG official stream won't be making comments to the judges, but on their stream there will be a judge at that table all the time, so that person should pick it all up. Now yours, we still got to hash that out. I am still very much on the side of, if you notice something that has to be done and you're able to communicate it to us quickly, efficiently, and we can correct it before it's an issue, then we should. So we're still having that discussion.
All right. Well, sweet. We'll as we get closer, we'll find out. And, you know, as part of the Gold Squadron Podcast, you know, streaming policy, we just made it like, we put a general like, hey, depending on what the tournament place wants to do, that's what we'll do, and that's what we're going to follow. Is if we get there and they said, all right, you know, let's use your walkie talkies, Dion, and we'll use them. If they want our input, then we'll go ahead and use it. So
okay, Dion, real question. If we're not allowed to use your input, can we still use the walkie talkies? They were so helpful at Adepticon.
Yes, I will bring. I'm planning on bringing them anyway. If you guys want to use them, that's fine.
You are a merciful overlord.
Well, right, when I told you the reason I bought them was just to make sure that we could help. You know, it's to make the experience better.
Ridiculously helpful. They really were.
So your judges will be equipped with radio walkie talkies so that they can communicate with each other throughout the event and serve you better, because it really helped them from like not having to run across the room when somebody was standing right there, you know?
Well, even like last time I did Worlds, like we take breaks and like go into the back into like their Badlands is what they call it. Their like eating area, and we have lunch there. And like, if we get a judge call, and like, I was trying to hunt down Frank for a Marshall call and he was back there eating. So I had to like sprint, you know, back through the hallways of FFG trying to find him. So it'd be really nice to just call him on the radio.
There you go. So provided by Gold Squadron Podcast. So I want to talk about some last minute things that that we can do as players to get ready for Worlds. I made a list of things. I want to give you guys the floor first, though. Marcel, I know you're not going, but what are some things, mm-hmm. what are some last minute things that you would get ready before going to Worlds?
The obvious ones is transportation. You want to make sure you got all your transportation set up. But as far as for the tournament itself, your list. And I would even suggest a second set of damage, a second damage deck. If you went to one of the system opens, if you got that other one, bring a second set of damage decks. Your asteroids as well. If just for whatever reason, just make sure you bring all your cards. One of the big things is there may be, I doubt it, but there's the possibility that you may match up against somebody who's kind of a strickler for the rules. And if you have an alt card and you don't have the FFG official card along with that alt card, they may make a fuss of it. So make sure you have all your FFG official cards and tokens, not tokens, but all your FFG official cards if you're using any of the alt ones.
And on that same comment, last year at Worlds, they were instructing judges to go around and inform people who were using alt art cards that they had to use the other ones. I don't know if they're going to do that this year. I haven't had that discussion with anybody. Now, I know some people, they'd be like, okay, fine, and they'd bust out the real ones. Then as soon as, you know, the judge walks away, they pull out the other ones. But and personally, I don't care, but we're in FFG's house. We have to respect their rules.
Yeah, and usually what I do is I just have the plastic, what do you call them? The sleeves, yeah. And I usually put the real one in the back and, you know, the alt card in the front. But yeah, just make sure you have all your official cards just to be safe.
And I'd even recommend to people, it's like, play a game like this week, like one prep game, whether you care or not, and set up everything, play a game, and then when you're done, take all of that and put it in a special case, and that's the case you take to Worlds, at the very least. So then you're making sure it's like, okay, I have enough dice, I have enough tokens, we're good to go.
And just a reference here, when we're talking about alt arts, we're talking about unofficial alt arts. If you have the official ones, then those are fine. Like, with you don't have to have like the, you know, the packs, like your regular, the ones that come out of the pack, the normal ones, right. When you have the official FFG alt art, those are considered official. William, what else? What are some other things we can make sure that are ready before Worlds?
You just gotta take care of yourself too. I mean, we're gonna be having fun, but don't have too much fun, and make sure you're drinking water all the time. That's what really helps me. Carry around a water bottle so I don't get thirsty or kind of dehydrated as I'm standing around for so long. I'll stretch as well. or try to find a seat. I try to sit down as much as possible, even though I normally always stand when I play. Comfortable shoes, things like things that can get you through the day. Even though, man, FFG is that spicy poutine is so good at the FFG center, but it is not recommended as like the first and only thing you eat during a tournament. So you got to eat right as well.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, make sure, like, I know for myself, I need to be careful what I eat because I have a sensitive stomach. So usually, like, the couple days before, like, we're human, right? We could talk about this. Make sure you're eating safe foods. You don't want to be in the middle of a match and have to have an emergency run to the washroom. So just be mindful of that. Be mindful. A couple of other things that I wrote down here, it looks like you guys hit a lot of my points here, is make sure that you've solidified your travel and hotel. Like, I know that sounds really simple, but sometimes you'll be like, hey, I'm pretty sure, like, we're going together, right? Like, yeah, of course, you know, and then all of a sudden you realize that you guys decided to go in one car and there's like six of you and it's a sedan. You don't want to end up in that situation. You know, there's only four seats in the car and six people are going. Double check. Make sure, like, sometimes you have to make some hard choices, like, oh, hey, man, you know, the first three people, five, try to, you know, of course, it's always more fun to travel as a team. But you have to do your best to to just be as organized as possible if you're traveling, to make sure that you don't end up sad because you forgot something. Remember your wallet. I know that seems really simple, but showing up to Worlds without your wallet, you're going to be really sad because how are you going to eat? Because that would be definitely that would suck. And then if you're planning on playing in the side events, make sure you have all your stuff for that. Hangar Bay is one of the side events. There's also Team Epic. I think those are the only two X-Wing ones that are going on. There's also Destiny side events, and I think Legion as well. And I'm not sure if there's an IA side event, but whatever it is you plan to play on the side, bring your stuff. I know, for instance, for me, when it comes to the podcast, I have a ton of stuff that I'm bringing besides my equipment to play. I got my streaming equipment, all that. Like I'm literally making myself a list and writing down everything and going through it many times and adding things like, oh, I forgot this, forgot X, you know, and just putting it all aside. And then when it comes to the day to travel, I'm putting it all in my car and then we're ready to go. Because once you're over there, you don't have access to your stuff. But make that list, check it twice. So just be mindful of that. I think that's everything that comes to mind. Chico, anything else? Last minute Worlds prep.
I've got two things. First of all, I just want to let people know, if you see one of us like online personalities, it's like we obviously like talking to people. So feel free to come say hi. I'll love to just hang out and talk with people. Ask us where we're going out, you know, after the event's done, and you know, come along. I mean, like, most of why I go to Worlds is to hang out with people. So, you know, just latch on and let's have a blast. This is going to be a great week.
Oh yeah, it's super fun. Come have a good time. And that's what the Goldies is. I know sometimes people are like, well, where are people going out to eat? Where are people hanging out? Like, I understand that not everybody is super social, and it creates an opportunity to come and be like, hey, I know that there's going to be X-Wing people there. It's a safe place. So come hang out. By the way, I forgot to mention, it's BYOB, but Minnesota's weird about their alcohol laws. So, like, buy your beer the day before during the day and have it with you and then bring it. Because we've gotten caught off guard like every time, right? It's like there's a like bars and stuff they can sell, but you can't like go to 7-Eleven and buy a six pack and bring it because they can't sell it after 10 or something like that.
Huh. They have like early closing rules. I know, yeah, Indiana has weird things like just on Sunday, they have weird hours.
Yep.
Yeah, I want to say Minnesota. And then,
definitely, if you're an alcoholic, get in contact with one of those people, like locals. Get the info.
William?
Oh, I think. No, wait, that was Wisconsin. That was 9. Minnesota.
Yeah, that was Wisconsin when we went to the store. Can I get it?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think of.
Okay. So yeah, but early, just have your stuff ready to go, because unfortunately what we don't have enough money for is like an open bar. We can't afford that. I'm debating, we might be able to afford a cash bar. Like, you have to actually pay to have a cash bar because you got to pay the person, but I don't know if that's worth it. I don't know. I'm going to talk it over with the gents. We'll figure it out. But I think BYOB is the best, because then, you know, we can spend more money on food.
Well, and double check with that cash bar, because I've done cash bar for events, and if you do that, you can't BYOB.
Right, exactly. So maybe just BYOB is probably just the best thing, right? That's probably just the best. All right.
I agree.
All right. It's been decided. Live on
My other thing I wanted to go over, is this where I can slot in my announcement?
Sure, slide in your announcement.
Awesome. I have rulings for how things are going to go at Worlds for some of these hard-hitting questions that people have. I've been getting questions like, you know, for like the past couple months about stuff, and I finally got a message back from Frank about how we're going to do some of these.
Okay. Lay it on me.
So, yeah, I'll try to buzz through them. I've got about 10 of them here. Palpatine in lightweight frame. If you call it on lightweight frame, you can only use it on lightweight frame. So you can't go out back and do the whole dice pool. Trani Kolda and Captain Jostero. If Trani Kolda causes a damage on the defender, Jostero cannot shoot at the defender. He's still considered defending. He's the defender. Can't shoot at him. If somebody else takes the damage, sure, shoot at them, but not that one. Flight assist astromech. This one gets interesting. You have to declare if you're going to boost or barrel roll before you measure. And then if you can, you have to. The way a lot of people have been doing it is you can measure, then decide if you want to boost or barrel roll or not at all. Now you have to make the decision beforehand. That one was a little different than I was expecting, but that was there. Reinforce and juke. You can't juke a reinforce. There was an email going around from Frank that's saying you could. That was a really, really old email from before we had the timing chart, so ignore that. Cruise missile has a hard cap at 5 dice. Even if you try to drop a shield with Miranda or add one on from Jan Ors, hard caps at 5. Just done. Scum Nim, he ignores bombs exploding, but bombs do not ignore him. If you fly over a cluster mine, the bomb still blows up. It just does no effect to you.
Oh, that's a big one for that tower right. defense squad.
Yep. Rebel Nim. If you have somebody that like lands on a proximity mine and Nim says, no, that doesn't blow up, at the beginning of the next planning phase, you are overlapping again and it's a new round. Nim has to redeclare at the planning phase, which I don't know if Frank completely thought that went through, because if you don't and it blows up, you could all of a sudden cause attacks in the planning phase if it hits people. So we'll see how that goes. Next one, tractor beams. There's been a big discussion over whether the template can overlap the asteroid when you tractor beam somebody. Frank has officially said the template can overlap, so that's done. Argument over. Bomb effects that generate attacks, it's all nested. So if a bomb goes off next to Quick Draw and Jostero and, you know, whoever else, the person who owns the bomb decides who gets hit with the damage first, and you follow that trail of thought down, like respecting initiative, until it resolves all the way back, and then you bomb the next person and the next person. So that could create some interesting decisions on who you want the bomb to hit first. And then my last one, Omega Leader and Lowric. If Omega Leader has a ship locked, Lowric cannot spend his reinforce to give that ship an evade. There's been a lot of discussion around that one regarding a possible precedence from M9G8 to allow it, but they didn't go that way. And that's all I got.
That's awesome. Thank you for that. That's a lot of good information, and actually helps me with some squad building decisions.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to get him out here. You know, I sent you a message freaking out, and I was on Hornet Squadron earlier today just wanting to get the information out there to as many areas that I can, that, you know, this is information that people are going to use based on squad building. So it needs to be known out there.
Sweet.
Oh, and one other one. A lot of people were wondering about Hotshot Copilot and Twin Laser Turret. Do you lose one focus or two focuses? Which one can you spend it on? Which one doesn't matter? It doesn't matter, because Hotshot Copilot is only on primary attacks.
No, when you're attacking,
that's different.
Yeah, when you're attacking with the Twin Laser Turret, and I only have one focus.
Oh, dagnabbit. I'll go back
to Frank. Because if you're attacking with and you have hot shot, then it doesn't trigger. But if you're being attacked, you have hot shot, you're being attacked by a TLT, when I was at FFG Center with William on for the regional, they declared it that it's that you burn two focuses. Well, the person attacking you burns two focuses.
Right. And that's what I ruled too. And you know, now I'm finally remembering why I asked that question. So thank you. I'm gonna send a message to Frank right now. We'll see what he says.
There we go. So we got some last minute reminders. We got some last minute important way things are going to be ruled. And what we'll do is we'll go ahead and I'll type those out tonight. And or maybe Chico, you can just send them to me and I'll include them in the show notes.
Yeah, sure.
That way in the description so that everybody can have access to those because those are important. So we'll go ahead and do a transition there. And now, guys, what I want to jump into is I want to do the Dark Horse squads. Some things that that we think might do well or people have a shot at winning with or doing well, making the cut with. Sound good?
Yes, sir.
All right, William, I'm going to I'll open it, but you're going to go first in the order.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Alrighty, guys. So I want to talk about Dark Horse squads. These are squads that are not necessarily considered meta squads that have a chance at making a splash at Worlds, even though they're not Ghost Fen or Miranda Lorik Fen or Miranda Lorik Ezra. You know, these or Nim Miranda. These squads that are at the top of the meta that everybody's been preparing for. These things that might come out of the woodwork and catch some people off guard. William, what are some squads that you're thinking about?
Triple defenders. Definitely either like the swarm leader variant or just a bunch of X7s. Crackshot. Were they glaives? Crackshot glaives. Robots. Probably most notably Jester Hill's control bots. Surprisingly effective. With all the small base ships who don't want to be ionized or tractored. On that same control note, probably Marcel with your ion jump masters, locking people down, blocking, and more control with that. Let's see.
Now, Marcel, do you think anybody else will be brave enough to play that squad?
But I've had a couple people message me saying that they're interested in flying it. I think Richard was curious about it. Richard White from Scum and Villainy, he was curious about it. Tom Buys, he thought about it as well. So there's a few people there. They might take it. You've got to have flown Jump Masters in the last year or so, or else you're not really going to do it. You got to be good, not be good at it, but you got to be comfortable with the base and with the blocking and stuff like that. But yeah, you never know. I actually think you'll probably see more of the four jump master, just the four bear jump masters with trick shot than you will the triple version.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll agree with that. The triple version takes a lot more skill on when to rotate those ships in and out, where to position them so you're getting the bumps correctly and getting some shots in. And that's just something that you do, like that is unique to Marcel. I mean, I'm not sure there's many other people who can do that.
Yep. And we'll see who is brave enough to do it. Or to try, because I think when Marcel and I were talking about playing that squad, the big thing with the snapshot version and the operation specialist is being able to take advantage of the arc and making sure that you're actually getting the snapshots off. Because if you're not, then you're reducing your damage potential and token creation by quite a bit. So some other dark horses that we were thinking about is the double shadow casters. Now, I know that some people are thinking like, how is that a dark horse? you don't hear a lot of people talking about it, to completely honest. Usually when you hear people talk about double Shadowcasters, it's like, well, it's one of the better scum squads. If you want to play scum, like, that's kind of the idea out there. But it has a lot of tools there to get the job done. One kind of janky rebel squad that I've been seeing people mess around with is a Crimson Specialist. That is the BSF where you can place the bomb anywhere touching if you want to when doing that. Usually with Trajectory Simulator, bomb to flavor, to taste, plus Ezra doing the stress thing, and then either Nim or Miranda as like its ace. I played against one of these in the Wisconsin Regional, actually, or something kind of similar to this, and it bumped me out of the cut, and it has a lot of different tools, turrets and bombs, stress control, and it can be quite scary. So it's one of those where if you don't know how to approach it, then you can get wrecked pretty hard there. There's a lot of people messing with high PS scum right now. It hasn't, the biggest splash that I've seen it make was, I think, what was the regional where? Was it Michigan, Marcel? Where the guy got the runner-up?
But it had just Stair on there, so it was kind of a combination between high PS
high-ish.
and high. Well, if Justero triggers at pilot skill 10, if it works right, you can have three ordnance shot at pilot skill 10. So you can call that a high PS.
No, Marcel, it's actually right. Higher than that, because if Nim can launch the bomb, that's still in the activation phase. So it can't get much higher PS than that.
True. But what I was trying to say is that with the high PS alpha strike is when you have, I would say, more than three or more ships shooting off at either pilot skill 9 or 10. I've seen different variants of it. I've seen this one. I forgot his name, the guy from Canada that got runner-up in Michigan. I've also seen variants with pilot skill 9, the Z95, forget his name, Andrew, and then also seen with a combination of Dallin and the other guy,
Tarani.
Both, you know, yeah, Tarani and Dallin, both shooting at pilot skill 9. So there's different ways for you to get that really high alpha strike, and also with Fenn at pilot skill 9 being able to put five dice at range 1, that can also count in a way of, you know, a high PS alpha because you're throwing 5 dice with full mods.
Yeah, those are all possibilities there. And another thing that I'm wondering if people are starting to look at is Boba Fett crew. We all know that Ghost Fenn is going to be a very popular squad at Worlds. It is one of currently the best ones. And if you can get a Boba Fett off on the Ghost and rip that TLT off, that puts you in a whole, that gives you the ball game, I think, right there. If they can't shoot their turret, it's a big deal. So I think the high PS alpha, when it comes to scum at least, they're going to be looking at how can I get off that Boba Fett, and positioning wise, it's going to matter to be able to try to avoid getting out of Fenn's Fenn Rao Sheathapede's arc, and making sure that you can get those missiles off, and we're probably Nim, right? It's going to be the Boba carrier, we're thinking.
Well, Nim or Sol Sixa. I ran Sol Sixa in Michigan, and both of them are higher PS than the Ghost.
There you go. So just try to get through the shields, get the Boba Fett, have him go, pick the TLT up, it's mine, and leave.
Yeah, I faced against one Ghost in Michigan, and I ripped off his TLT, and he was super sad.
Did you tell him that he deserved it?
Yes.
Awesome. So a couple of other possibilities for Dark Horse squads. You know, while Quick Draw has been an Imperial staple, you've seen them currently in a lot of Palp, like the current most popular Palp Aces variant has Quick Draw and the Inquisitor. I wouldn't call that a dark horse. I think that's a known commodity. But like Quick Draw plus other things hasn't really, since like the initial like 3BQD, that's the three gunboats with harpoons and new squadrons with Quick Draw. Since that, we haven't seen too much of like Quick Draw plus other stuff. And I think that could really catch somebody off guard. One variant that I've seen is Quick Draw with two heavy laser cannon gunboats is super scary. That's terrifying. You're like, all right, here's four dice. Two 4-dice things plus Quick Draw. And, you know, then you got the Quick Draw conundrum. Do I shoot them now or do I shoot them later? It's like, oh, you can't ignore the gunboats because they're just shooting 4 dice at you with link battery. That's like almost 4 hits every single time. Let me shoot Quick Draw. Well, now Quick Draw shooting me back. Like it can be nasty. We haven't seen too many people play it, but I think that could be a dark horse. And I had to throw this in here for my Thweek fans. Thweek could be a dark horse as well. Of course, Thweek plus a ridiculous bid and just being able to be the last thing to move and make that decision, because at least you get to probably move after Fenrir Sheathapede and after the Ghost boosts. And if you guessed right on your dial, you can maybe get yourself into a safe place.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Like Thweek, I was wrong from the beginning. He's a lot better than I thought he'd be. And the list that I've seen running around is Thweek, Fenrir, and a Bumpmaster. Just like that Bumpmaster gets in there, and then the aces just rip you apart.
William, is there anything I'm forgetting when it comes to dark horses, or anything else that wasn't on my list that you think might surprise us?
You don't have any. Like Rebel Force ships on there. You don't have a bet on a Rebel Force ship list that could compete?
Place the bet, sir.
Actually, I saw Nand running two TLTs with two Sheathapedes, I think it was. Yeah, I think it was Finn, Ezra, and Rourke, and a Y-Wing. That's not bad. I mean, you get the Popsicle 12. I have a soft spot for Hawks, so I'd like to see that do good if Dan could bring it. And I don't know. I guess like seeing a lot of Lorik, Finn, Jess, and like Rex as maybe a 4-ship list. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if
I wouldn't call those dark horse though.
You don't think so? Do they have a like legitimate spot for, you know, like top 16?
Yeah, something like what Tommy Adams brought and things like that. Yeah, I don't think those are. I think that they're a step above a dark horse. I think they're pretty solid.
So like what category would you put it in? Like possible contender, not contender, but possible contender.
I would say possible, even above possible contender if people bring it. And you've seen so many variants of it doing well. You know, again, we talked about people have seen the Tommy Adams build. He took it to Kentucky, and then he also took it to Michigan. Was it? Did really well with it. Then also that other variant where it's Lorik, Fen, Rex, and the U-wing. I mean, just different. As long as you put Lorik and a Sheathapede and two more ships, that's style. That's kind of like the new Fair Ship Rebel type of list that is going to do well. It's not a guaranteed cut, or it's not a guaranteed 5-1, but you're definitely going to win the majority of your matches. I mean, just putting that on the table. Unless you do something silly, you're going to win the majority of your matches.
Cool. I like it. Chico, any opinions, last opinions on dark horses?
That's the nice thing about being a judge. I don't have to worry about dark horses.
So I am going to say that I do think the, you know, you talked about the high PS Alpha Strike. I think that one of them, the middle to low PS Alpha Strike from the Scum side is a possibility. So the four Karax fighters, I took them to the system open, the redemption or whatever they call it, the follow-up tournament. They actually did really well, and it was a suboptimal list because I had Fearlessness instead of Crackshot. With Crackshot, I probably would have gone 5-1 or 6-0 because I barely lost the matches by a fraction of an inch by not putting that last damage in with Crackshot. So that's a possibility. And then you also see the pilot skill 3 with either the Skurgs or the eye guys. I forgot what they're all. The Taranis type of list, the whatever they're called.
Kimogilas. Kimogilas.
Yeah, there you go. So I think 3 of those or some kind of variant, I think those are dark horses that can put out some, that can surprise people if you load them up and you fly them right.
Cool. So, man, so lots of opinions there. And that's the thing with Worlds, right? Is you're getting people from so many different metas, so many different parts of the world. Yes, we all are aware of what has happened at these major events, but everybody has their own flavor. We were talking about last week about reasons why people bring their lists, and everybody has their different reasons. So we'll see what comes out of the melting pot. I think we can for sure, you know, we know what the meta staples are. I didn't want to talk about those today in detail because we know Ghost Fend, we know Miranda Plus, we know Nim Miranda. The fun part is going to be after, like what comes out of it, right? What are the other things that are there? And we'll see when the dust settles. So yeah, I'm excited about that. Now I want to transition into the next topic, which if you bring one a non-meta list or find yourself in a possible losing situation, and that is playing as the underdog. Now we are running a little bit longer than I would like to before getting into this huge topic, and this is maybe something we can touch on it again next week. So we'll kind of we'll see what we can get through here. So first, I think before we go too much into this topic, is we have to talk about what do I mean by, you know, why do you think you're an underdog in a matchup? So the first thing is if you believe you're in a bad matchup, you say this list versus mine crushes it. You know, I am at a, you know, 70-30, you know, to the other person. You know, you feel like you really don't have a chance. Or if maybe you just believe that your opponent is better than you, you know, you've been playing for a year and you're round one and your opponent is Duncan Howard, and you look up, you go, oh crap. All of a sudden you consider yourself the underdog. But I think with any game, whether it's a bad matchup or you believe that the other player's skill is higher than yours, the very first thing you need to do is find your win condition. Now, this is something you should do with any game, but I think that is a thing that you have to hold on to the most and make sure that you not only have a win condition, but you also have multiple ways to try to achieve that win condition. Whether that is, you know, winning on time, whether that is like you figured out, all right, I have to kill, you know, this linchpin to my opponent's list. What is the kill order that you have to do? You know, trying to figure out all these things to give yourself the best chance to win, even though you might be at a disadvantage. I'll give a great example. So I am most likely, like I've been practicing, I'm either going to play Kylo Omega Leader and a gunboat, or the Toon Gunboats and Kylo. Like those are the two things I'm going between because that's what I've practiced the most. And when I play against Ghost Fen, I know I have to kill Fen. And my opponent knows I have to kill Fen. So while some people might think, well, the strategic thing is try to play around that, I can't, it's really hard to try to fake out my opponent. Like, if he serves up the ghost on a silver platter, sure, I'll take some shots into it. But I need to kill Fen, that way I get rid of that PS11 boost. And I know that. So I'm going to be smart about it, but I'm going to do my best to try to take out Fenrao and try to win the game from there. Because that's my win condition. Like, that is a terrible matchup for me. It's really bad. If I can't get rid of Fenrao, and my opponent's playing at a really high level, I honestly don't have a chance. Because there's no safe place to put Kylo, and four volleys of TLT will dig in damage even without a thrusters and a focus and the title reroll. The title only happens one time. What are some other things you guys can think of, Marcel?
I don't know how to be the underdog. No, I'm kidding. You know, honestly, just don't think about it. I'm trying to think, because a lot of the time when I feel like the underdog, I tend to beat myself up even before the match starts. And I usually do better in those than when I feel like I have a decent matchup, not to kind of pour salt in Luke's wounds. But the last two matches that I played against him, I honestly felt he had the list that would trounce me, and both times it went the other way heavy. I really don't know. Just don't freak out about it. Have fun, and if they drink, buy them a beer and buy them like five, and hopefully they're drunk halfway through the game.
No, I've got something to throw in. Now there's, like, we've discussed, you know, going in there and trying to figure out, you know, okay, I think I'm in a bad spot here. What do I have to do to win? But how do you change it up sometimes when you look at it and go, okay, this is going to be my loss for the day, but how do I get as many points as possible? Where, like, if I'm staring at a list and it's got like Miranda and I'm like, crap, I have to kill Miranda because it's so many points that my win condition is Miranda has to die. That can sometimes be like a huge gamble to go after Miranda first, because then she just nopes out of there, and then you're chasing for the rest of the game, and you're risking getting tabled instead of getting a win if you don't make that happen right at the beginning. So, you know, maybe you switch it and go, you know what? I'm probably going to lose this, but I'm going to get my points on whatever's not Nim. And you go for that. You get the best MOV you can. You take that loss and you continue on with the rest of your day. And I know there's, like, that's a decent strategy for me sometimes, mainly because I don't want Chris Allen giving out any templates on my account.
Well, you know, yeah, it's, you have to identify your win condition. And while for the first couple months, I definitely played with the fear of the templates, I don't have fear of the templates anymore. So, you know what? I'm going to play to win. And if I get tabled because I was trying to do the best thing to try to win, then whatever. I don't care anymore.
Well, I think my problem is I haven't given out any yet. So I can't break the seal.
It's all right, man. Heart on fire, mind on ice. That's what you got to do. Make it happen. Will you be the only undefeated? See, but I guess if you keep judging, then you it's very hard to actually get those templates out of you.
Don't give away my secret.
Yep, and a great point here put in the chat. I want to read this verbatim because it's really good. 90% of playing from behind is understanding what your opponent wants, what is safe and what isn't. If your opponent starts taking unnecessary risks, get in there, punish it. It really comes down to understanding lists and matchup. Absolutely. That actually was the next point here is if your opponent is making mistakes, you need to capitalize on those. You have to. If you don't... you have to put yourself in the best position possible and say, all right, for instance, a great example, I had a match a couple weeks ago where my opponent, like, I was losing. I was losing, but my opponent really wanted to kill my Kylo. I still had both my gunboats alive, but if he would have just killed, like, with his this matchup, he would have just killed the gunboats and then left Kylo for last. He would have won the game. Like, it would have been no problem. But he decided to chase Kylo hard. So Kylo, with the ability that he has, like, I'm just going to get out. I kept chasing him. And it's like, you know what? Letting him chase me. And I put my gunboats in positions where it's like, if you keep chasing Kylo, they're going to missile you in the face. And he chased Kylo, missile in the face. Next turn, the other gunboat comes in. You're going to chase Kylo again? Yeah, okay. Here's a missile in the face. And I just kept rotating them out over and over again until I won the game, because my opponent was making unnecessary mistakes, like unnecessary aggression. I understood what he was trying to do. Like, he was trying to try to catch me off guard, but I didn't let him, and I used his own aggression against him. So, like, there's when you are the underdog, you have to try to find the way to fight. Get what you can, and if it comes down to it, like Chico was saying, just get the points, because maybe you can't win this round, but you know, you take 50 MOV with you, and that could be the difference between making the cut or not.
Yeah, I got something. It comes up a lot, and when I play, and it's mostly against Nim with those trajectories. And that scares me. It scares me every time, where I'm like, oh man, if I cut in now, he's just got the easy trajectory right onto me. But you just have to face your fear on that and just kind of go in. If that's the strategy that's going to win you the game, you're going to have to take those licks, whether it's a trajectory or a harpoon, and get in there and make sure that you take that ship down, or get in position to win the game, even if it costs you a ship or two in the process.
Yep. Oh, and here's another thing. Sometimes, like, while it's rarer now, with the trajectory simulator Nim, if you can be better at managing ranges than your opponent, you can bait bombs out of your opponent. I have played a few Nim players where they were so sure that their trajectory simulator was going to get Kylo, and I knew in my heart, I was like, it's close, but I know you don't have it. And I baited out, you know, two proton bombs and two ion bombs. And I'm like, all right, I'm not scared of your bombs anymore because you don't have any. And that won me the game. So that's a whole nother topic on how to do that. We don't have time for that. But
right. And like, I think that's true. The downside is you're at Worlds. You're going to be hard pressed to find a player that doesn't know what he's doing on every aspect of the game.
Well, I mean, you just got to, if I can be 0.1% better than my opponent, that's all I need. That's all I need, Chico. That 0.1% where we look across each other and they say, I think it's in. I say, I think it's not. You know, everybody has had that moment, right? Mm-hmm. Where you're wondering about range and you have to have the cojones to be like, all right, is it? Like, are you willing to put it on the line?
I mean, just like your cut game at Adepticon, where you're like, there's no way he's going to make it through that rock. And he did.
I'm like, oh. You got to break my heart with that again, Chico. One bank that heard around the world. We talked about that already. We go back. It's like Adepticon 1. I talked about it. Ugh. Anyway, good stuff, guys. So we have, like I said, we have Worlds coming up. We'll be streaming again this Wednesday from Pastimes. And for next Monday, next week being the week of Worlds, I'm not 100% sure whether or not we'll have a full, like, official episode, because we're going to be publishing so much content that weekend, and me not being home. Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday, and part of Sunday, I might just take it as a family night. It's still to be determined. But we'll get you something out. I just don't know what that's going to be. Chico, thank you for joining us and getting us those rulings.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on. I got that email and I had to share it with everybody I could.
Marcel, it's good to hear from you, buddy.
Yeah, it's good to be on again.
William, I'm so glad that we were able to have you on 2 weeks in a row where we could, where you have like a nice crispy sound that I can use to mix together beautifully on the podcast.
Yeah, trying my best here.
So I think before we go, since it's just me and William from the four of us here that are going to be playing, give yourself the, this is a lot of pressure. What is your prediction for your record at Worlds? What was your record last year or the last time you went? And what is your goal and maybe what you think might happen for this year? You go first, William.
Last year I went 4-3, which did not get me into even day two because I had terrible MOB. Chico, do you know if we're playing 6 or 7 games in Swiss?
I believe it's 6 because all the 4-2s make it.
Oh, okay. Well, I want to go 4-2 then. If I could get into day two, that would be better than last year. And seeing that improvement would be great.
Yeah, last year for myself, I went 3-4. I know that I didn't leave very happy. I was pretty upset with myself because there was I did a couple of bonehead things that made that happen. But I feel that I've grown quite a bit as a player since last year, and I think I can do well enough to make day two. And that's my just baseline goal. If I make like William said, if I make 4-2 and can get onto day two, I will be happy.
So for me, last year I went 8-1 in Swiss, 11-2 overall, and I predict this year I will go undefeated. Might not win a match, but I'll go undefeated.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for everybody who joined us tonight on the live stream. Thank you, everybody who's listening at home in the future. You can watch your live X-Wing events and Worlds, all the things on twitch.tv/GoldSquadronPodcast or on YouTube if that's the only thing you have access to, because I know some of you have Twitch blocked at work, but you still want to get some X-Wing action, we got you on YouTube too. Watch our replays of our shows and X-Wing Mind Games and all the other things we do on our YouTube page. Go ahead, click that subscribe button. It definitely helps. If you have Amazon Prime and Twitch Prime, click the button again. Just come to the Twitch. Even if we're not live, you can still click the button, connect your Twitch, your Amazon Prime account to Twitch, click the button, free subscription. It costs you nothing because it literally says free and it throws like $2 and change our way. And now that we're partners, it's like $3 and a couple cents. So it makes a big difference. The more people, it really does make a huge difference. And lastly, if you enjoy the show, you want to help us keep expanding our content and be a part of the biggest group of our supporters that really make the biggest difference, go to patreon.com/goldsquadron and become a patron today. I actually got a bunch of stuff in the mail that's for patrons that I'll be shipping afterwards. And I'll show it off on the stream because you guys can't see if you're listening to the podcast. So we'll do that here in a minute. So for Marcel and William and Chico, my name's Dio Morales. Gold Squadron out. We'll see you at Worlds.